This episode of TMS PM is brought to you by LinkedIn Learning, the online learning platform with thousands of expert-led video tutorials to help you build your technology, business, and creative skills. For a free 30-day trial, visit linkedin.com/TMS and start achieving more today. That's linkedin.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, drone guy in the neighborhood.
Pokemon Day was fun.
Chickens like it hot.
Texas judge takes it too far.
Delta says no more.
What's that wiggling out of your butt?
Half time.
And Dan, the tabletop man.
Your Twitter questions and more on this episode of, PM. Ah, it's wrong. TMS. PM.
There it is.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night. TMS PM.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to TMS PM. It's me, Scott Johnson, with Brian Ibbett. It's Friday. It's 5 o'clock. Now it's 5:11.
And it's also Saturday.
Evening. Oh, is it Saturday? Today, this weekend has been a little nutty for me, I'm going to admit right off the bat. I wanted to show off the new kitty.
Oh, there's the kitty.
The new kitty.
All right. Who had that he'd be in the office by the end of the week?
Well, he's not wandering free. Carter brought him in. He's going to take him right out, aren't you? Okay. So he hasn't actually been in here. He doesn't even know this room exists until now. His name is Deckard. You can either say Deckard Kane or Rick Deckard. We don't care. Still Deckard, right? Middle name Breadward. Last name Johnson. He's an awesome little kitty, and we love him, don't we?
He's like, come in, stay a while, zoom and enhance.
Zoom and enhance. There you go. You got it? Thank you, sweetheart. Shut the door behind you, will you? Anyway.
The flame that grows twice as brightly burns half as long.
There it is, the cat finally makes an appearance. Sorry, everybody at home listening to this, you can't see him, but he's a cutie, and he's got his claws in me, I can tell you that.
Good.
I like him a lot, both literally and figuratively. Brian Ibbett, it's me here with you. We're doing a thing, show here on January 20th.
I don't know if we've ever done a TMS PM on a Saturday evening. Like, I know I think we've done one either pre or post film sack at some point.
Yep.
But I don't know if we've ever done one this late on a Saturday.
Nope. It's the only time I think we've gone this late. And there's many reasons why, primarily just busy schedules. In fact, today... saving the drone guy for last because I got to hear that last.
Yeah, no problem.
Pokemon Community Day was today. We were going to try to do this earlier, but you had something called Pokemon Community Day. I have idea what the hell this is, so explain.
This is a new thing that Niantic is putting together. It's a worldwide event. For 3 hours, once a month, they will release a new version of a Pokemon, and then also double the amount of XP you get, double the amount of... like lures last twice as long, things like that. Today happened to be the first ever Pokemon Community Day. It's a cool thing they're going to do. We had a group of about 75 to 100 people here in Arvada, moving from raid to raid, grouping into like different groups. I think actually, God, we might have had more than 100 because they limit you to 20 per raid. So I think at one point we had 6 different groups raiding, like. 2 groups for every faction, 2 Valor, 2 Mystic, 2 Instinct. And it was a blast. It was like, it was people hanging out and talking and chatting people up about what they do for work outside or outside of obviously Pokemon's not work, but what they do for work and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun. A little chilly, 45 degrees out here.
That's not too bad.
But it was a good time. Good times were had.
Did it snow all night for you? Because it snowed all night for us. No?
It's tonight. It starts snowing, they say, at 4 in the morning tonight. And then goes straight through until mid-afternoon tomorrow. So we'll have that. We're going to have that snow that you got. How is that snow? Anything unusual about it? Is it white?
It's white. Powder? It's thick. It's a little wet because we had warmer-ish temperatures today, non-freezing daytime temperatures. So everything's a little slushy. But it was so bad when we got up this morning. We were just like, we're not really going anywhere today, are we? Because what's the point? Like, there's no need to go out and fight this mess. So we stayed home and... I worked most of the day. Kim's been watching a lot of the show she wants to catch up on. Carter hurt her neck.
Hallmark,
so.
What does the Hallmark Channel show in January? Are they like, it's just like a live feed of the carpet in the broadcast booth or something there. Cool. Like, we spent our wad on all that December crap. Now it's just like...
She's off the pipe for now. No interest in any of that stuff till probably next Christmas. But yeah, I don't know what's going on in that channel. I hate to even guess what's going on in that channel.
Yeah,
I don't even want to know.
I'm amazed that the Hallmark Channel doesn't have as big a library of movies for February, because it seems like if you take the Christmas out of each of those movies that they show in December, it's basically a Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is.
She's a busy business executive. He's Cupid.
Yeah. You know what? They probably do have a ton. There's probably stuff showing right now that would embarrass me and make me want to die, but I'm not looking at it. Neither is Kim, thank goodness. But, that's where we're at with that. And that's good. So, Pokemon Community Day, a big success. Did you catch anything or whatever you do? Okay.
Yeah, caught my first shiny Pokemon. So, very rare. They have very rare Pokemon called shiny. And it's just basically shiny versions of existing Pokemon. It's something that they've had in the Game Boy games and everything. This is something they finally adopted into Pokemon Go.
So wait, shiny like the texture mapping is shiny? Like the characters just look shiny?
They have sparkles. I mean, it's not even like a texture map, like it's modeled in gold or silver or anything. It's a slightly different color usually, and then they put sparkles around it to indicate that it's shiny. No other benefit to it other than it's just a different color and
great. So so basically this is like Hearthstone gives you gold cards with animated art, and then this is their version of that. Okay.
This is the version of that. Right. And then the current legendary raid boss, which is Kyogre, managed to get two of those, and Tina got, we did five raids, and I only got two. She got zero. She did not get a Kyogre out of five attempts.
Wow. I didn't know she was going to these things with you, by the way.
She is. Yeah, she's actually, it's funny because she would go with me and just kind of hang out, and I started a second account on her phone just so I could start from the beginning, do some things differently, but then have something to talk about on Pokemon Go podcast. Mm-hmm. And then she started like, "Well, I'll catch it on there." Oh, okay, you don't have to catch it on there. Here, give it to me. Give me the phone, and I'll catch it. And then it just started being like, "Nope, all of it's happening on my phone. I'm doing all the catching." And
yeah.
Yeah, she's totally into it. She's all over it.
Now, chat room, I have a goal for you guys. I just want you to notice this. And this is not a negative thing for me to say at all. I promise you that. But have you noticed when Brian talks about Pokemon Go in any context, he starts up here. By the time he's done talking, you go like this. You go, "Yeah, there's this whole new Pokemon that's coming into the thing, and it's starting to become and you get way down in the grass." And I've noticed that the last few times we've talked about it. I don't know what that's about. Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
What's that? Well, that's
awesome. This was a gift from a listener to the Pokemon Go show. It's a crystal Pokeball. This one has...
That's so cool.
Coughing in it, like laser dotted coughing.
Is coughing a Pokemon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a ball in a cloud.
Oh, wow. That's really
cool. I'm
sorry,
not coughing. Ghastly.
Ghastly. Listen. Okay.
Ghastly.
He's all farty and stuff. I got it.
He's all farty, but he's in his own stink. He's the pig pen of Pokemon.
Oh, good. Everyone needs one. Right. Tell me about your drone neighbor. Is this the new guy? The lawyer?
No. Oh. So this is great. So I'm coming back from lunch. Went to Freddy's for lunch yesterday. It was awesome. Yeah. But I had some errands to run right around that area. So stopped by Freddy's, brought it back to eat at home. And as I'm pulling back in the neighborhood, I see a guy in Crazy Neighbor's front lawn wearing a bright yellow blaze jacket that says FAA on it.
Yeah.
And he's got like one of those deluxe drones. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's the white one. I think one of our listeners brought one of those to Snowbird. But it's like a really bulky, strong-looking
Phantom 4, whatever.
I think that's it. I think that's right. The DJI Phantom. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he brought that to, or he was sitting there flying it in my neighbor's front yard.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell's the FAA doing in my neighbor's yard, taking, with a drone?
Yeah.
So as I get closer, I notice that there's little writing underneath where it says FAA. And as I get really close, and I wish I would have gotten a good picture of it, it says FAA in big letters. And this is like one of those blaze yellow vests that you'd see people working on the side of the road wearing or
Hunters, maybe?
Yeah, Hunter. Well, yeah, I mean, sure, it's that same color, but, you know, like important people at a crime scene. FBI would be wearing like these things or something.
Gotcha.
Anyway, and as I get closer, underneath it, underneath the word or the letters FAA, it says, licensed drone operator, please do not disturb.
Ooh.
So he's not FAA. He's just an FAA licensed drone operator, which you can go online and become an FAA licensed drone operator in about 2 minutes and pay $25.
Why do they do that for? What's the point? Just to say it? Or?
Yeah, I think just so you can say it. I imagine it freaks people out when you see a guy in the neighborhood without wearing one of those jackets and he's standing in somebody's lawn flying a drone around and you know it's not the guy who lives there.
Yeah.
Apparently what he's doing, though, he works for the roofing company, and instead of going up on the roof to look for hail damage, he actually can just fly around it and take enough pictures of it, get up close, and see that there's, you know, see where the hail damage is and how bad it is.
That's great.
And they probably save thousands on insurance for these guys, right? Because now it's just some dude flying his DJI Phantom with a yellow vest. But he had this whole setup. Like, he had his car pulled up, the trunk open. In front of, like, on the ground in front of the trunk is like a roadie case. Those black cube cases with the shiny silver edging and everything, like a roadie would have.
Sure.
And then about 6 feet in front of that, a bright orange pylon. So he's claimed, he's peed on the ground and claimed that 6 feet of space behind his Acura
to make sure
that nobody disturbs him and his drone.
Wow.
He's got plenty of drone space.
Yeah. By the way, Eureka Geek says you now have to register drones above a certain weight. So that might be why you had to get the license.
Yeah, but you don't get a vest just by registering
your
drone.
No.
He actually had to have that vest either made or...
No, his vest is coming from a different source.
I know. I had to register my Parrot drone. I probably... at some point I have to register my Spark, my DJI Spark.
Oh, is that above the weight or the size or whatever limit?
It's got a camera on it, and I think that's the designation. It's over a certain weight, but it's really light and it's really small. But I think the fact that it's got a good camera on it is kind of what makes it.
Well, that's crazy. You probably thought there was something going down when you first saw this.
I did.
Yeah. You're like,
I totally did. Like, what?
The Russians are out, and suddenly there's drones all over the neighborhood.
That's right, exactly. The FAA is investigating our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Nope, just looking for hail damage.
Looking for those damn Russians. They're always one step ahead. It's too much hassle to catch them. Well, all right then. That's a good story. And that's great, because what we do on the show is we lead right into more stories. Whoops, wrong, sorry.
Well, radio today.
Oh, wait, what did I forget? Did I forget something? Oh,
I
choked.
I want to hear about this story.
Yeah, I choked. I forgot. All right, so this is kind of embarrassing. You know these fish oil pills people take? They're like
omega-3.
Like, yeah.
Omega-3 pills, yeah.
They're
clear and...
Sure, and it's supposed to be from the what you would normally get from more fish intake, because we don't eat a lot of fish anymore in this country. It's a good way to get it.
We asked for more fish pills, and they wouldn't bring us any more fish pills.
Well, these new ones Kim got are supposedly quote-unquote burpless, which means if you digest them and then it used to be if you burp, you just smell like a dead tuna fish. And these are supposed to not be that way. So Kim says you should try these. I said, all right, fine, whatever. I took a couple of them. One of them decided to adhere to the inside of my esophagus and not move. And the other one went down, and so I went to go gulp it down. I kind of swallowed and realized, oh no, there is one of these things attached somewhere back here. Lord. And I start kind of like violently coughing in the kitchen today, losing it. My wife's in the other room going, "Are you? Is everything? What's going on out?" And I'm totally gonna die.
Oh my god!
And I had two choices, Brian. One was just hork it out, and come what may, or what I did was the second thing. I took the glass of water I had that was still 3/4 full, and I shotgunned that water down.
Pounded.
And I knew there was a risk that it wasn't going to do anything but make it harder to breathe. But
if that thing's clogging your... Well, it's not clogging. It's just stuck to the inside of your throat. It's not like it's...
Yeah, no, it's not like...
your airway.
Yeah, no. It's not like jammed in the flesh or something. But it's like... Right. It was right about here. So it's down like below my neck. And so I went and just... I really almost slammed the water down my throat, just going, please let this clear the log jam. And it did it. Took it through.
Thank goodness.
Everything's good. Gosh. And not a single fish burp to speak of.
Good. Yeah. Good.
Feeling pretty good about it.
If you were alone and Kim wasn't around and you needed, like, let's say something did clog your pipe, do you know how to do the self-Heimlich deal, like with a chair, the back of a chair or something?
I used to. I don't remember how to do it now. Should probably read up on that again.
I'd be fumbling around like I'm a junior high school student have sex for the first time. Can I'd be like, where do I position the chair? Like,
can you give yourself mouth to mouth? Probably not.
Probably not.
Doesn't work
turkey
that way.
Turkey baster? I don't know how these things work.
I don't either. Suppository. Ladies and germs, I'm here to talk to you real quick about our friends at LinkedIn Learning. This entire episode brought to you by them, featuring Lynda Content, the leader in online learning for the past 20 years. They're for problem solvers, achievers, people who want to stay ahead in their careers, maybe want to stay on top of the latest tech, prep for CompTIA certification, or keep your organization's network secure. For IT professionals, LinkedIn Learning is your ultimate resource to keep your skills fresh. Some popular courses include data science and analytics careers, certifications, DevOps, foundations, SysOp, exam prep, cert prep, ITIL foundations. Whether you're looking to be sharpening those skills, preparing for certification, or whatever, LinkedIn Learning has a powerful tool for you. Explore course recommendations curated just for you. Use project files and quizzes to validate your learning. No hidden charges, no upsells, access to all the courses you want, one monthly price available worldwide. Learn from anywhere, from your computer, your tablet, your mobile device. We got a special deal for you. Get a 30-day free trial with LinkedIn Learning today by visiting linkedin.com/TMS. That's linkedin.com/TMS. What's happening? Oh, that's the wrong one again.
Radio today is different.
Jeez,
powerful networks span the nation from coast to coast. Shortwave radio girdles the globe.
All right, the real news brought to you by
The Instance, which had Hodor on it. I think that's a typo. You must mean Ho Dear. Scott, explain.
Well, I indeed mean Hodor. Hold the Door Hodor was on The Instance yesterday. Christian Nairn dropped by. Trying to get him back on forever, and it's been hard because he's been very busy. He's got a couple of TV shows coming out. His DJ schedule has been huge. So he came on, and if you're like, oh, man, I haven't heard The Instance in a while, you may want to go check it out at theinstance.net. Check out the latest episode. It was me, Patrick Terpster, and Christian Nairn, Game of Thrones' own Hodor, talking about World of Warcraft. He still plays, takes his laptop wherever he goes. It's the only game he will play. It's the only thing he has time for, and he loves it. And we talked about story and lore and his favorite character, Sylvanas, and what she's doing now. And it was great, and we had a blast, and he F-bombed a lot, and he's funny as hell. So if you want to listen to a very funny, very tall, very big Irishman make us all laugh, that was a great episode, and you guys should check it out.
Very cool.
Yeah, he was great. Super
Can't
nice.
Wait to hear that. Yeah.
And he's filming a new TV show out here in Provo, of all places. So we're supposed to go to lunch. So I hopefully will soon have a picture showing me seeming to be the smallest person in the room, which I'm very excited about. I'm very excited about that. All right, let's get to the news. Chickens prefer attractive people. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, I didn't. Wow. Well, I prefer attractive chickens, so I guess it's only right. It's only fair.
What is it about a chicken you look for? Is it the plumage? Is it the beak? Like, what are you looking for in a good chicken?
I like a good meaty breast.
You're a breast man, I see. I'm more of a leg man. I don't like a leg man. I like to have the skin removed before, though.
Oh, yes.
Ooh. We're still talking about chicken, right? Anyway, we know the importance of having a little light to get through the dark days of winter. It's important for chickens as well. When Daniela Smith asked, why do chickens need a lot of hours of light to lay eggs? We checked in with some poultry professionals. You know, the PP.
Yeah.
Hens, pros. Hens are photostimulated, which means they require more light to produce eggs. A poultry scientist at the University of Georgia said. Her name is Claudia Dunkley. I wish her name was... I wish it was Dumpling. Wouldn't that be funny?
Dunkley is just as good. Like chicken Dunkley. Yeah. Dunklers.
Dunklers. I love a good chicken Dunkler.
Chicken Dunklers.
It says here, if they're exposed to 12 hours of natural light or artificial light, the chicken's hypothalamus causes the release of reproductive hormone and spurs egg laying. They go on to say another side effect of this is they see you. And if you are an attractive, average-looking person, not meaning not too weirdly out of proportion or whatever, they are more likely to trust you and like you as a person than if you were some big, wide load, scary looking guy with a beard.
Well, sure, because those guys eat them.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
They know that when the fat guy shows up, suddenly their friend Bill is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you thought of that.
Wow.
A Texas judge in the news interrupted the jury and said God told him the defendant was not guilty.
Oh, nice. I'm sure that saved a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm sure this is exactly what we want out of our justice system. A state district judge in Kamal County said God told him to intervene in jury deliberations to sway jurors to return a not guilty verdict in the trial of a Buddha woman. I assume that's like a town.
Not
an actual Buddhist woman, because they'd say
Buda.
And they would have said Buddhist, probably not Buddha woman.
Right. She's some sort of Buddha woman.
It says she was accused of trafficking a teen girl for sex. Judge Jack Robinson apologized to jurors for the interruption, but defended his actions by telling them, quote, "When God tells me I gotta do something, I gotta do it," according to the Herald or whatever. The jury went against the judge's wishes, finding Gloria Romero Perez guilty of conscious trafficking of a person and later sentenced her to 25 years in prison. They found her not guilty of a separate charge of sale or purchase of a child. Robinson also presides in Hayes and Caldwell counties, did not respond to a message left in his court coordinator, but that guy said that the case is still pending. Robinson is scheduled to return to the bench on January 31st. That will probably trigger an investigation, and so be it, dude. Freaking, you don't sit there and go, "Excuse me, I'd like to interrupt the rule of law, which is the jury makes this decision," and say that I think he's not guilty, so I'm intervening. Like, F you, dude.
It's not even I think. It's like he's like putting his hand up to his ear and going, "This just in, God says she's not guilty."
Yeah. Horse shit. This really bugs me. I'm annoyed by it so bad.
Sure.
That's egregious. Don't freaking do that. Don't ever do that. I'm annoyed. And if you want to come at me with your emails on this one, if you think a judge could do is okay doing that, what are you smoking?
There's nobody who's gonna write in. If there is,
I'll wait and watch. We'll wait and see. Maybe we'll get some joke one. Someone will be like, "Well, I live here in Texas, and let me tell you
exactly
when the Lord speaks through the judge."
God also told me that your $5.99 special should come with two slices of pie. Go ahead and bring that second one out to me right now. God told me that I wouldn't get one free on these tanks of gas. So you can pull up my truck.
Y'all are going to buy me a new Ford F-150? That's what the Lord said. So get on that.
Hey, God says you're open another half an hour. Let me in.
I love the idea of just running around using that.
Like banging on the Walmart window. Hey, God says you're open another half an hour.
That's right. God told me this t-shirt's overpriced. How about another 10 bucks off? Anyway, so annoyed.
God says I get two lap dances for my 40 bucks.
That's right.
You're going to stick around to the next Bon Jovi song.
I like that it's Bon Jovi. I like that. I don't know why it's Bon Jovi, but I'm okay.
It's gotta be Bon Jovi. I'm sure it is.
Like a judge would say, I'm going to allow it. Delta is cracking down on passengers with their helpful dogs, or whatever they're called, their helper pets. Passengers who wish to take dogs. their emotional support animals is what they're called most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you take one of these aboard an airline or a plane run by Delta Airlines, you'll have to show proof of health and vaccinations for 48 hours in advance, as well as some other requirements. So this is an interesting story because you and I have both been witness to horrible events involving these dogs.
It's funny because it's not the extreme of like biting, but taking a dookie right as the plane is taking off on the runway, like about to go begin its 2-hour journey to wherever it's heading. And dog one row in front of me decides, this seems like a good time for me to drop a load.
Yep. Seems like the perfect time. Says here, travelers with a psychiatric service or support animal will have to sign a signed document confirming that their animal can behave behave to prevent untrained, sometimes aggressive household pets from traveling without a kennel or in the cabin. The new requirements start on March 1st. Delta said animal incidents have increased 84% since 2016, including, but not limited to, urination/defecation, Boy, there's nothing worse than urination slash defecation.
No kidding.
Yeah. Biting
the worst
and
part
even
of Guns N' Roses was urination slash defecation.
I like the hat, though. I like the hat. It says there was an attack by a 70-pound dog on a Delta flight. Ooh. That's crazy.
Wow.
Employees have reported barking, growling, biting, blah, blah, blah. Customers
well,
also
he was hogging the armrest.
There you go. You see? Put your seat up in the upright position or my 70-pound dog will kill you.
Exactly.
Customers have attempted to fly with comfort turkeys. I didn't know that was a thing.
No.
Comfort gliding possums, known as the sugar gliders, snakes, spiders, and more, all claiming
comfort
to be...
tarantula.
Yeah, comfort spiders. Mm. Yeah. Delta said ignoring the true intent of existing rules governing the transport and service of support animals can be a disservice to customers who have real and documented needs. So basically what they're saying is people are taking advantage of this and bringing a damn turkey on the plane. And
right. So you're saying that I shouldn't bring my comfort vampire bat on my trip to Vegas in a couple
no,
weeks?
No, do not bring your comfort vampire bat. But do bring your comfort, what are they called? Ferret. I'd like a comfort ferret.
A comfort ferret. I'd take comfort in that ferret.
I'd take a lot of comfort in that ferret. man found a 5-foot tapeworm wiggling out of him after eating sushi almost daily. Let this be a warning to you, Brian. You like sushi.
I do like sushi, and this is not going to change my mind. I'm just going to assume that this guy ate a lot of gas station sushi.
It's entirely possible that you're right.
Yeah, and I'm gonna pretend that it's verified in my head.
Okay.
He ate gas station sushi. I'm going to whack my microphone. He ate gas station sushi. End of report.
All right. Well, here's what happened.
Okay.
A man who'd eaten sushi on an almost daily basis discovered a tapeworm that was wiggling out of his bum as he sat on a toilet, according to his doctor. A California man sought help at the emergency room.
Better out than in.
That's my theory on this.
Yeah.
Get it out of there. He revealed the case to the podcast, This Won't Hurt a Bit, some doctor show or something.
Oh, okay.
The man panicked when he could feel the 5.5-foot tapeworm wiggling out. He was relieved to get the tapeworm diagnosis and was prescribed medication to help remove the rest of it from his body. The man told doctors he'd been eating sushi on an almost daily basis. Last year, consumers in the U.S. were warned that wild salmon caught off the coast of Alaska could contain tapeworms. They previously thought only the parasite was infecting fish caught in Asia, but that is no longer the case. Turns out our oceans are all connected. So, Brian, may I had one is all I'm saying. A little bit of...
Oh, certainly. Yeah, you know how, other than just getting it to wiggle out of your butt when you're on the toilet, like you do the sour milk, like you, the warm milk and the pencil thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard of that.
You hang out with Jennifer Aniston and you wrap the worm around a pencil when she tries to leave your body to go into Jennifer Aniston's body.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been there, done that. Seen this. Yeah. It's a common occurrence in everybody's daily life. Those are your news stories. When we come back, app time, we're going to talk about some apps, Twitter questions, and some point in the show, probably right after that, we're going to play a little segment from Dan the Tabletop Man. That's right. He wasn't able to be here in person, but he did record a rad segment. So we're going to post that in the show for everybody. If you're watching live, you may not hear it, but you'll hear it on the podcast. So that's cool. We're really grateful for that. But before all that can happen, we owe it to ourselves and you to play a song in the middle of the show. Brian, what do you got?
Sure. Scott, did you know, that there's a Halifax in Nova Scotia in Canada, right?
I'd heard rumors to that effect, yes.
Did you know there's a Halifax in the UK as well?
No, that I didn't know.
Me neither. No. Did you know that in that town of Halifax in the UK, there's a band called the Orioles?
No, that's totally
news to me. No, I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
This was a song by the Orioles here. That was written last summer, written over the last few days of summer, inspired by events, discussions, and philosophical musings that took place in the studio during the recording of the album. This is such a fun track, and it's funny because it doesn't sound like a song that would come from thoughtful discussion and, you know, philosophy and stuff like that. This just sounds like a fun song, and boy, the name even says it, Blue Suitcase, Disco Wrist. Wow. From their upcoming album. No, it's let's see. The album is called Silver Dollar Moment. It's their debut album coming out next month, February 16th. This is Blue Suitcase, Disco Wrist.
Here it is. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. that gets really trippy there at the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. For the guy on Twitter who says, I always say, I like that every time Brian plays a song. I'm going to say something different now. I'm going to start saying, that was pretty good. Or, I quite enjoyed the song you played.
There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. Sounds like that's going to be my new thing. All right.
Nice.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's dive into our next bit of business, which is this right here. Oh, I got to get my bag. Where's my bag? There it is. I got it.
App Slappy.
All right. It's App Slappy time, where we review an app. Yes, that's right. And I've got one here for you folks on an iPad Pro. However, I understand it is also on Android tablets now. Took them a couple of days, but they did it. Hold on a second. I meant to be more prepared than this, but it's okay. Live to hard drive. Here's what I'm going to recommend. There is a game called Anti-Hero. Have you heard of it, Brian?
I have not. Anti-Hero, okay.
Anti-Hero is the name of it, and it is a... Why is that sound happening? Hold on.
I don't know. It ain't me. It ain't me, babe.
Something's... What the heck is going on there? Okay, we fixed it. It's all fine now, everybody. It's a game that plays a lot like a board game, but it is actually not based on one. Dan would probably like this a lot, though, because it's got... It definitely has board game sort of leanings.
Sensibilities.
Imagine, if you will... Here, I'll show you a screenshot. Kind of a big head, goofy version of it, but this is like street urchin-y kind of turn of the century England kind of motif.
Okay? Oliver kind of thing. Artful Dodger, sure.
Lots of kids who are, you know, orphans and thugs and, you know, scallywags and all that business and thieves, lots of thieves. And that's basically who you are. You're a thief and you're among other thieves. And in this game, you play basically a board game, and I'll click into it so you can see it. Load in here. So it's a turn-based little board game thing. It's this guy's turn. See all this moving? Sort of-ish.
A little bit, yeah.
Kind of. It's like a little city. Some stuff going on in that city.
Okay. They're all running around the city, sure.
Yeah, now what happens is you're in this grid kind of thing, and you have so many moves, like basically action moves you can take as a character. And... you also can hire thugs, you can hire henchmen, you can hire kids from orphanages to go do stuff for you. And when you do that, like right now they're kicking orphanages out and they're evicting one of my urchins and they put them in a cage and they're driving them off. Anyway, you have so many moves you can make and they basically have these win conditions. And win conditions can be everything from the local church has given me free reign of being able to rob anywhere I want, and they'll turn a blind eye. So that's a win condition. Or you might get you might capture a really important landmark, and that's another win condition. In this particular scenario I'm in right now, I get 4 win conditions. But to simplify things in terms of explaining this, you take turns doing thievery. So it might be, all right, I'm going to go to this Albatross Way, which is currently unscouted and covered in London fog. And when I go in there, it reveals the place, but also turns out, it's a bank. So because I infiltrated that, I get more gold. And that gold's good because I can hire more underlings with my gold on my turn. Also, I may find a place that gives me extra lamplights. And lamplights are like movement bonuses and things. So that's good.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, there's these different kinds of like currencies and things that you gain. There are also contracts for assassinations. And right now, an assassinated person or someone who needs to be... See this little person there? It's going to be hard to see it in the dark, but it looks... See the question mark?
I see the question mark, yeah.
Yeah, you can't tell because it's so dark, but it's basically... It's a question mark inside of a hooded figure. And you don't know who that is, but if you go find them, you may find out, this is like the Queen's Regent or something, and they're worth a ton of money if you assassinate them. So you can, you know, there's a little bit of chance going on, or you may find them and go, oh my gosh, that's like 5 thugs. They're going to kill me and I'm dead.
So it wouldn't necessarily, it doesn't always have to be one. It could be multiple people.
Could be anything. All you're basically getting is intel that there's somebody over there. Now you can scout that stuff rather than just going head on. And that's probably a good idea because then you can like, that's just a simple person. I'll go kill him. Mm-hmm. Or they may find out it's much worse and kill your scouts, but at least you're okay. So it's kind of hard to explain. It's a little more involved than that. I'm doing a bad job of it. But the art style is super cool. I would compare it to, like, you know that Don't Starve style? Looks like hard-etched ink or whatever.
Yeah.
It's that kind of style. And it's turn-based. There is online play as well as a full campaign mode and kind of a skirmish mode where you can just set up a random scenario and play it. So lots of options, lots of stuff to do. And it's really, really well done. And I don't even normally like these kinds of games because they tend to have a lot of options I don't care for. Like, you might not like the, you know, taking over the orphanage house so that you can have some orphans there. And if you have three there, then the orphans cost less money when you hire them. And, you know, like, there's a lot of sort of board gamey things. And he can come take those. He can come get those back. So there's a lot of kind of monopoly that way. Like,
right, like Risk, or, you know, where it's you're taking properties or taking
Risk is a great example because it's it's that feeling of, well, look, I worked really hard to get South America, and then the other player comes in and takes it all back.
Right. So you don't have enough defending yet, or you don't have enough there. Okay.
There's a little of that in here, and if you don't like that, then I don't know what to do for you. But I kind of don't like that either, but I'm still okay with it. For some reason, it doesn't bother me in this. So anyway, I think it's really good. I think people should check it out. It's only like $4.99. It's also on Steam. It has been for a while. So you can get it there if you want to. But it's called Anti-Hero. It's perfect for large format sort of tablet experiences. And I'm going to give it a star rating of 4.5 out of 5.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't go up there if I were you. Okay, Brian, your turn. What do you got there, buddy boy?
I'm actually going to review two things today because they're very related, or related in style. Saw an advertisement for something called Beat Fever, and this is a Guitar Hero Rock Band style game that you can play on the iPad or the phone, the iPhone or whatever. I need to find out if it's Beat Fever, if it's cross-platform, but it's the same kind of thing where you've got four little boxes at the bottom of the screen. You've got the ramp where everything's coming towards you. You've got to tap the boxes to the beat as the little colored icons intersect with them.
It is on Android, it looks like. So, yeah, you're good on there.
Okay, cool. Oh, there it is right there. Sure is. Music tap rhythm game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big Rock Band fan. At least I was a big Guitar Hero fan. Like, I like all those games. Wasn't there a guitar game called Something Hero? I do like those kind of games. Now, I downloaded that one, and music choices may be a little bit more on the douchey side.
The
choices of your avatars are people you probably wouldn't steer around if they were crossing the street. You wouldn't slow down.
All right. Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, for people who do like this music, but a lot of Pitbull. Nicki Minaj, stuff like that. There's the Sia song, which is really good in there, and they've also got that Walk the Moon, Shut Up and Dance song, which I actually really like.
Yeah, well, that's cool. But it's a lot of
playstyle is.
Is it rappy? Is there a lot of like hip hoppy kind of? No,
no, no. And the songs are short, so you're not doing an entire 6-minute song on Beat Fever. You're doing like 30 seconds of a song. So you're doing 30 seconds of Nicki Minaj or 30 seconds of Pitbull or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
While I was looking for that one, I came across Guitar Hero Live. Now, this one's been around for a couple of years. This is nothing new. It's new that it's on iPad and tablets and mobile games, but this came out the same time that the most recent iteration of Guitar Hero came out for all the consoles as well.
Mm.
What's cool about this one, way more music available, and you can actually download, and it's less of like a you can only progress if you get 4 combos like Beat Fever. Of course, you get full songs. Visually, it's Guitar Hero. It's a lot better looking, and it plays a lot smoother. You can download Beat Fever for free and play a ton of Beat Fever without paying any extra money. Guitar Hero Live, you get one song. You've got to unlock the full game, which is $7-$9, I think. Let's see here.
Yep.
It is $9.99. So $10.
Yep. It's also on Apple TV, it looks like.
Right. I think if you buy it, I want to find out, but I think if you buy it here, you get it for get it for the Apple TV as well. Like, it's all your mobile platforms get it.
Yep.
Because what's cool about that is you can actually get a Bluetooth guitar for $15 on Amazon that works with this and actually have a newer Guitar Hero Rock Band that you don't have to sit there with a bunch of cables and trying to hook these things up with little infrared remotes like Rock Band had for a while for the drums and, the stuff. So I'm going to play a little bit more of, just during that last song, during the end of the middle, I played Guitar Hero. It's smoother, it's cleaner, it feels better. You only get one song as a test, but I think I might pick up the full digital game for Guitar Hero and pick up a $15 or $16 guitar.
Well, nice. That's cool. Do you know that I'm just noticing as I was going through this game, there's some others you might also like, and I found there's a Kiss rhythm game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This I didn't know about.
And there's a picture of Paul Stanley going, "Dress like you mean it."
Play, grab your plastic toy guitars and play along with me.
Play with me. I've got the star on my eye. Look at this. And then you got Gene Simmons going, "Get famous, get rich." And
have I told you that we have some Kiss coasters on sale? You can tell it's a Kiss licensed product.
Listen, Gene, it's about the music. It's not about swag all the time. Knock it off.
Oh, did I mention we also have some door knockers? Speaking of knocking it off, I've got some Kiss branded door knockers, also spelled with a K.
Listen, so you know, just because you can lick your own nipples with that tongue doesn't mean I have to listen to a damn thing you say.
We have Kiss nipple flavored candy also for sale.
Bullshit! I'm leaving! That's it! This, once again, has been a production of Kiss Playhouse. We hope you enjoyed it. I feel bad that, I don't know where to put my iPad. I feel bad that we don't, you know, the cat and the spaceman don't get a lot of time. Oh, shit! I just poured water all over myself.
Hold on. Oh, no!
Hold on. It's fine. Everything's fine, guys. I just need a little cleanup. It missed anything important. Okay, we're fine. Everything's fine.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no.
but what makes you uncomfortable? Me slopping water everywhere or me doing Paul Stanley? All right. Let's move on. That was great. Good stuff was had there.
Bob in the chat room. Bob Patterson. What do we call him? The ombudsman of TMS?
Yeah, the comptroller.
The comptroller says... Chat poll, does anyone love S&B more than I do? I'm about an 8.5 on a 10 scale. Some days I lean towards Brian, other days Scott.
He's so weird.
Like there's plenty of room for other people to like us more than you if you're only an 8.5.
Yeah,
jeez.
I think you're one of the weirdest people in our audience, and I love it.
You're one of our favorite people.
Yeah,
one
really
of my
are.
Favorites anyway.
Don't go changing, dude.
Yes.
All right.
And now we know it's Depend. Thank you.
Oh, Matuba doesn't like the Kiss stuff. Why is it icky? It's Paul and Gene doing their thing. Yeah. They're into it.
One of them is like, you know, we'll slap the Kiss brand on anything and sell it for a buck. The other one is Paul Stanley.
Yeah, Paul Stanley wants to be true to the art. He's not interested in just everything doesn't have to be hawked like a freaking market.
Exactly.
He wants to,
my
wants
gosh,
to make music.
My
he,
gosh.
Want, he wants to All rock right. and roll every night and party every day.
That's what I hear anyway.
All right, we're going to take a very brief break, and Dan's here to tell us some stuff. Dan, take it away.
Greetings, programs. It's Dan, the board game man here. Well, I'm still a little busy, and my work schedule still kind of blows for the timing of TMSPM. Scott had asked me to send in some segments for everyone, so I'm going to try and get a regular segment out to everyone with some game recommendations and some random pharmacy crap for you. For today, I wanted to add on to what Wendy and Scott were talking about last week. They had kind of mentioned something about it being cool if there were some tests and such to figure out what meds would work on specific patients. Well, it turns out pharmacogenetics is a thing. I mean, it's not a huge thing, but I do know of at least one company doing such a thing. Mako Medical, not that I'm affiliated with them in anywhere. I just had a beer with one of their doctors and had a long talk about this sort of thing. Turns out they're doing genetic tests. And these tests have a bunch of medicines that will tell you if you're going to respond well to the meds and such. Now, from what I can tell, it sounds like the big thing that they're trying to do is to help tailor children's ADD meds to each kid specifically. That way they know exactly what will work for which kid. I'm not sure if it just makes the, works better on those meds to test to figure out what works, or if that's what they're kind of getting closer to get insurance coverage for their test. Because as we know, everything boils down to what is covered or what is, money, getting paid. These tests, all their people or their coverages will pay for, even if it makes perfect sense to you or me, that they know, you know, that they works, that they know what works and will save the insurance company money in the long haul. It's not always that simple just to save the money to the insurance. You know, usually they want a little bit more than that. So the fact that there's a company doing these little things, and even if though, you know, to me as a pharmacist, it still sounds like hokey pokey magic science. If it does truly work, that it's fascinating the implications that this could mean, like being able to tailor somebody's blood pressure medicines, their ADD meds, and all these other things, so that you don't have to try and figure out which one of the many meds in certain classes that they're going to work, you know, going to work on them, or, you know, just whatever the doc just feels like today. And also, one other thing they're kind of mentioning when you're talking about dreams and such, having nightmares, this is kind of not really completely related. If people out there are having really bad nightmares, there is some medicines which are basically the kind of the things that they were talking about, where side effects of other meds do work for other things. So there's a blood pressure med that's got a really, really low dose that they'll use a lot of times in the elderly for nightmares, but they also kind of use them for regular people. You know, it doesn't have to be elderly. You can use them for the nightmares and night terrors and things like that. But I don't want to give any meds or anything like that for you to go out and try. So talk to your doctor, because there are plenty of meds that will work if you are having some bad dreams out there. And, you know, it kind of brings up that whole polypharmacy thing, where you're kind of using one thing because of a side effect another, and that's a whole other can of worms, and not always the best thing. But it is something that is out there. Just a little recommendation if anybody is having problems like that. But hey, I do have some games, and Ibit, I got something for you too. The game or games I wanted to mention to you is something that I think you will absolutely love, Ibit. The idea of escape rooms in games, in board games itself, has taken off in a huge way this last year. The one I want to talk today is called the Exit series. You can do a search on Board Game Geek for them. There's a bunch of them, and everyone really raves pretty much all of them. In fact, Exit did win a Kenner Spiel des Jahres last year, which is kind of the game of the year for connoisseurs, game of the year. So check those out. You can grab one of those for like $15. There's a little box, and you get to play the whole thing. You got to do, supposed to do it in about an hour, and there's a bunch of different tests and, you know, puzzles and things like that. And I'm pretty sure it's really good for 2 to 3, or probably 4. And being that it's $15, it's cheaper than going to an escape room. You can stay home, stay in your PJs, and not have to drive anywhere, if you know what I'm saying. I'm pretty sure each of these games can only be played once, so it's not really able something that you can reset. But at $15, it's still cheaper than like one person going to an escape room. The other thing you can check out, there's another series of games called the Unlock series. And it's pretty much a card version of an escape room. And there's others called Escape the Room. One of those I did play. It was a blast to play. I think those are about $20. You can get those like Barnes Noble or things like that. You can actually reset those on their website. They have a way to reset those. You can send it to somebody else. You know, you can like send it to Scott when you're done. But I would really try the Exit series first, because people have been going nuts about that in the last year. But anyway, thanks everybody for the time. Next time I'm going to start my little series, probably a four episode series on the top 11 games of 2017. Thanks for the time. Follow me on Twitter at GeekJunkBlog, or check out the Geek All-Stars podcast, and see everyone next time.
And we're back. I'm putting that in post.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, we're back, everybody. Thanks,
Dan. Oh,
that
was a great segment.
Wasn't
wow.
it, though? Dan, you killed it. Well done, buddy.
I just spent $218 on all the things that Dan just recommended.
I know.
Darn it.
You always do. You always do. Suckers you in every time.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Oh, good. We got a good buddy, Jim Job, there with doing some Twitter questions. These come to us at the AskTMS hashtag on Twitter. You guys know it, and you love it, and you've been putting them in there during the week, and so I'm going to read them now. Karen V. Juliet says, did you know that Thomas Jane and Aaron Eckhart are two different people?
What? Yeah. No way. They have the same. They're exactly the same person. That jawline. Tell me this. Mm. And I hope Karen, it's Karen V. Juliet.
Yeah. Karen
V. I wonder
v...
who's going to win.
I don't know.
Might Karen... I bring up the case of Karen V. Juliet?
Back in 1972, we have established course material about Karen V. Juliet.
I have never seen Aaron Eckhart and Thomas Jane in the same place at the same time, so prove me wrong.
Yeah, that's a good point. They never are. Monica Sniffleface says, I'm sick and I can't leave the house. What should I have for dinner? She says not soup, does not want soup. So
no soup, but you're sick.
Yeah, she's not feeling
depends
well.
Depends on what you're sick of. I'd say maybe don't get any Alaskan wild-caught salmon sushi.
Mm-hmm.
But I would hop on Grubhub, and I'd see if there's a nice Greek place near you, and I would get a gyro with fries.
Oh, very nice. Look at you with the
We have one near us called Bada Bing.
Okay. Well, she's in Jersey.
It's not a strip club fronted by the mob.
No. Brian works the pole there on weekends.
I do.
Do you know, let's see, Jersey have any snow right now? Jersey weather.
Yeah, I think it, they've been hit with that same cold thing that's been sweeping up and down the East Coast, haven't they?
Yeah, looks like today, though, not too bad. 49 degrees. Looks like they're okay. So you can go out or have someone do it for you there, Monica, and have somebody pick that up for you. I think Brian's idea is a good one. Neil Patel says, where there'll be more stuff on Diary of a Cartoonist eventually. Yes, I've been horrible about that show. And you'll notice about the time I quit was right around the time Trump took the office of president. And I was worried that every episode of Diary would end up being something like that, because it was always a very personal kind of show. Maybe I'll get around to doing it and talking about other stuff. I don't know.
There you go. Or you could use it as a sounding board for all that stuff. Like as a vent, as a steam valve, right? Like basically call it Diary of an Independent Voter.
Yeah. And the people listening will hate me. They'll probably hate me for it, but I don't Whatever. Know. I can't decide. I don't know. Carrie, our good friend Carrie, coffee please on Twitter.
Oh, yay.
Haven't heard from her in a while. She says two words, comfort tapeworm.
Comfort tapeworm. That's
I'm not sure how to take
merging,
that.
Merging the stories today.
Oh, that's what happened there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cleo, you're up in the Boston area. Maybe I'll get a chance to see you when I go up there in February for Geek Bowl.
Wow, that's right. You're doing Geek Bowl this year.
She's in that. She's Eastern Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. I don't know where she is.
Why are you so far? Why is that so far away? It was in Vegas last time, wasn't it?
It was in Seattle last time.
Oh, Seattle.
It goes around the country. Yeah.
Oh, is there so every? That's why the one year you were in Austin.
Austin.
And, okay.
Yep. And Albuquerque. And Seattle, Denver, it bounces around to those different cities, different Geeks Who Drink cities.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Here's one. Number one asks, he may be Star Trek related,
number
this guy.
One. Mm-hmm.
He says, I have two questions for you, Scott and Brian. Quentin Tarantino, Star Trek, or Ron Howard, Star Wars, Han Solo story, and how much hassle? Okay, so the second question is how much hassle? I'm all for this rumor that Quentin Tarantino might do a Star Trek movie because I want to see what that looks like. I don't have any feeling of problems with that.
I'm usually on board with weird stunt hiring like that. I mean, maybe it's not stunt hiring, but it feels like it doesn't feel like Star Trek needed something to like, oh, we need to figure out some way to juice up the franchise. Bring in Quentin Tarantino in glorious red shirts.
I think it's too easy to assume that he'll come in and do a Tarantino style thing to it. I think it's entirely possible he'll come in and just do a good Star Trek episode. He's a fan. We know that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, all right. I mean, a good example of that is Seth MacFarlane, right? Yeah. Like how Cosmos was if you didn't read the credits, you'd have no idea Seth MacFarlane was involved with that at all.
Yeah.
You kind of course you get it with Orville because he's right there. And have you gotten beyond the first episode of Orville yet, by the way?
I'm like two or three in. Still not far. Okay. Not because I don't like it. I just haven't finished. I just need to finish. But Karen Tarantino could come in and do like he did with, I don't know if you remember this, but he did like a bunch of stuff back in the day. He did an ER episode that was totally fine. Just ER. And it was a good episode. It was actually really well made, but it didn't involve a bunch of people killing themselves or ripping their ears off or calling each other mother effers or feet or any of that. Like Tarantino, I think.
Was it ER or was it CSI? For some reason, I'm thinking CSI.
ER is what I remember. I may have done CSI. I don't know. Maybe
he did a CSI as well.
Possibly. I do remember the ER episode, though. Very.
I'm super excited about Ron Howard's Han Solo. I just, I'm looking forward to the scene where Chewbacca and Han Solo go down to the fishing hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aunt B, serve them some blue milk.
Aunt B! It's a little bit of what's his name in there too, Barney.
I put a little bit of Barney in there too.
Yeah. See, I have a cool Andy Griffith thing. Hold on, Andy. Yeah, have you heard this? Hold on, let's see. No, that's not.
Oh, is this the? Is this the one with single ladies?
Yeah, but that's not the one I was trying to find.
Oh.
I can't find it. It's I've got a version of the song that Andy Griffith sings the intro, and that intro has lyrics.
Go down to the fishing hole.
Yeah, that's it. Isn't that crazy? Hold on,
fishing. It is crazy.
Fishing hole.
A fisherman was.
No, that's not it. Shit. Well, anyway, whatever. There's that.
We've got the Sammy Davis Jr. Hawaii 5-0 theme.
Oh, that's right. You do have that.
You can count on me, boys. You can count on me.
I can't believe that got done. And did you know that he co-founded the DeLorean? Did you know that?
What? Sammy Davis Jr. co-founded the DeLorean?
Yes, co-funded it and founded it. Sammy Davis Jr., Johnny Carson, and then the DeLorean guy, and then some Italian designer were all the guys who put their heads together for that. It's weird.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was on that Jerry's Driving in Cars with Comedians deal yesterday I saw. He was talking about it. It was crazy.
Wow.
Let's see. What's not really a question, just a statement. If they had to recast Magnum P.I., says James K. Grammer, with Film Sack, Scott Johnson is Magnum, Randy Deluxe is T.C., Brian Dunaway is Rick, and Coverville is Higgins.
Fine with that.
Really? You want to be Higgins?
I don't mind being Higgins.
Well, I mean, someone has to be Higgins, but I don't know.
Somebody has to be Higgins, yeah.
I am no Magnum P.I.
Can't I be the talking car?
That's a different show.
Listen, Magnum, you don't want to go this way. We're stopping crime.
I like that.
That Magnum is all of a sudden Knight Rider.
Yeah, you mashed them up. I mean, they're both Glenn Larson productions, so why not? Oh, that's really funny. Tazalek says, what is the worst pain either of you have ever experienced? Mine was when they put a big, thick, I don't know what gauge it was, but big, thick needle through the heel of my foot.
Oh, Lord.
All the way through the meat of the heel of my foot. I wanted to die. It was so bad.
Oh, yeah. Mine was just now thinking about the feeling of getting a big, thick needle through my foot.
Yeah, and it wasn't just like barely under the skin or something. It was, imagine the big, hard part, your heel, like the meat of your heel, and a thick needle going schlink right through the middle of it. Imagine that.
Oh,
on purpose. It's awful.
Man, I'm trying to think of what the most recent one I can think of was about 10 years ago. They had to draw blood for some reason and she couldn't find the vein. And instead of like pulling the needle out and then like, you know, whacking that part of your inner elbow to get the thing to pop out so she could try again.
Mm-hmm.
It was like she was fishing around under my skin
with
the needle trying to find the vein. Like she's playing Minesweeper. Oh, nope, it's not there. Oh,
yeah. I mean, these are both needle problems. So I think needles are often a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had lots of other stuff, but usually it's like dull or whatever. But if you're talking like sharp pain that just about put me out, it's definitely the foot. And it would do it to me too if I had that. Somebody fishing around in my arm with a needle. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Don't need it. Don't need it.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I need that like a needle. Like I need a needle in my arm. Let's see, a couple more here. Folks, the Tom Hardy rap tape is good. What? There's a rap tape? Hold on. This might be interesting.
All right, get your cocktails ready. We might have another mention of a certain movie.
Tom Hardy rap mixtape from 1999.
What?
Yeah. Let me
really?
I'm going to play a little of this. This is Tom Hardy. He's looking very young here. This would have been just a couple years before his first movie role in Star Trek Nemesis.
Mm, right.
Oh, this must be so popular. It's like barely, it's not coming up. Ah, damn it. It's not working. All right, we're going to look into that. We're looking into that one because I want to know more about that business. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Monica Sniffle Nose says no Greek places. Darn it.
Jeremy Wakel says, I dig the new blue backdrop. Oh, thank you. The stream backdrop changed. I just like to change the furniture around sometimes, you know?
Yeah, cool.
I
can't see it from where I'm sitting, but I'm sure it's cool.
Jamie Brand, here's our final question. Two highly regarded TV shows, one from each of you, you could care less about or have never seen. In his case, he says it's Game of Thrones and Walking Dead.
Mm.
So those are big ones. Have you had that sort of thing?
I could easily tell you things that people have said, you've got to watch such and such, or critically acclaimed, and I've never seen it. I'll say Homeland.
Mm. Oh yeah,
Homeland. Never seen a single episode of Homeland.
But it isn't. You don't have interest. It's just there's too much other stuff.
No, I
right?
do have. I mean, it's just don't have time. It's probably it'd be on our list if we had more time to watch stuff.
Yeah.
Because
that's how I.
For The Good Wife.
Oh, The Good Wife.
The Good Wife.
Same thing. I heard The Good Wife's great, and I've never seen it.
Yeah. I think that's their. I think that's their point.
All right, for me. I'll give you one that I really don't care to see and have been told I should, and it was critically acclaimed, but I still have no desire to see it.
Okay.
And that's that How I Met Your Freaking Mother. I hate that show.
Oh, you've never seen any episodes of How I Met Your Mother?
I've seen a little. This is a bit of a cheat. I've seen enough to know I didn't like it, and then I never went back.
Oh, well, that's
So it's not kind of a cheat.
I would say that that's not universally beloved like some of these other things are.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I know a few people who don't like. I know a few people who love How I Met Your Mother, and I know a few people who don't like How I Met Your Mother. So
yeah, I didn't like it. How'd you meet the mother anyway? Did that all turn out? Have a thing.
It all turned out. As a matter of fact, have you watched Black Mirror yet?
No, that's another show I want to watch and haven't yet this season.
Well, you've watched previous. Yeah, it's just the new season you haven't watched. You've seen previous.
Five.
The first episode of. Black Mirror this season could be called how your mother started working at my computer software company.
Because right.
It's the same actress.
Oh. Not because of story points, but because she's the same actress.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
My brain was wildly thinking how these were connected, but. Well, those are your questions and those are your answers. Thank you everybody for participating in today's Ask TMS. If you've asked other questions or have some that you've just now done and they're in the hopper, don't worry, we'll get to them next week right here on TMS PM. Yeah, we sure will. patreon.com/TMS is why this happens. So if you'd like this fifth episode, contribute and keep contributing to patreon.com/TMS. If you got questions about that or anything else and want to contact us, whatever, go to frogpants.com/TMS. That's going to do it for us. We probably have to play music, though, right?
We're licensed to do this, like an FAA license to do this.
Great.
Will Usherwood wrote in and said, hi, Scott and Brian. It's been nearly a year now since I returned to my one true calling in life, driving a taxi. Little did I know that a year later I'd have set up my very own company, and so far things are looking very promising. All the while, I have you guys to thank for accompanying me along the way. Without yourselves, the Frog Pants Network, and even those chuckleheads over at Night Attack, the world would be a lesser place. You guys have brought me so much happiness over the years, and here's to many more. As ever, my request to the cover man himself is something Grease-related. It's a guilty pleasure, but I'm sure there's something hidden away that Brian can whip out. Unless, of course, it's too much hassle. I know, it's
worded very well.
Phrasing, yes.
Yeah, phrasing.
Any chance of a quick 1930s revival? I need some more Daryl in my life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, if he could just get his damn internet, we'd have more Daryl. But here you go, 1930s Daryl.
1930.
He might be insane. We may as well just talk, you know.
Can I tell you what I visualize when I hear that?
What?
I don't visualize Daryl in front of a little tape recorder. I visualize Daryl walking down Main Street USA in Disneyland, that opening area where that music is always playing, and he's got a top hat, and he's walking like that kid who's strolling into the room in the background of that viral video last year of the guy on CNN getting interviewed. And his kids bust in, and he's like, 1930.
That's a good visual. I think you should hang on to that and never let it go.
I will. If I could ever animate it, I would.
Sure.
With love and respect from the UK, signed Will Usherwood. All right, so he would like to hear literally anything Grease-related, the musical, not Burger Grease. Mm. And I'm happy to bring this one to you. And I hope you're not a stickler for accuracy, because this is... I still consider it a cover, but there's enough lyric changes that you could argue it's a parody.
Mm.
This is Summer Lovin' by a punk group called The Vandals. They released this on their 2000 collection, Fear of a Punk Planet, the anniversary edition. And it's a cover of Summer Lovin' where they change it to talk about their groupies. You know what? I'm not going to sell it any further. I'm going to let them do it. Here are the Vandals and Summer Lovin'.
All right. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Come on back now, you hear? ¶¶ Oh, wait. That came as a shock.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
13 guys just beat me up.
Okay.